There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live with myself, Elle Duncan, and my three box partners in crime, Jonathan Vilma, Emmanuel Acho. Clearly, we are weeks after and post the season, which is the only reason they have allowed me to host with you gentlemen. So we will certainly buckle in for the next 30 minutes. A hot button issue we've been dealing with all season long, but in particular now, the illustrious transfer portal. It seems to be a bit of an epidemic, guys, and now we're getting some comments from our former colleague, current FIU head coach, Butch Davis, who was asked by the Miami Herald about the transfer portal and said this. There are going to be a lot of kids who are heartbroken. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. In the 1st of January, there were 1,400 kids who hit the transfer portal. In the middle of January, there were 1,700. Now, there are close to 2,000. There are only 350 scholarships available, so where are those other kids going to go? They left a scholarship thinking they were going to get a scholarship. Now they're on the street thinking, uh-oh, and now they can't go back. What he's referring to, and I do want to mention this before I get your thoughts, is the fact that you can enter the transfer portal. You can kind of just dip the toe in the water, see if there's any interest elsewhere, and then go back to your school should you want to. But they can also cancel your scholarship should they want to as well. Do you agree with your former coach, Jonathan Vilma, that this has totally gotten out of control?
I do agree. It has gotten out of control. The thing that's most surprising is that the kids are looking for some attention from other schools when you already got that attention from the other schools and then you chose a school that you went to. Now, I understand if a coach got fired or your position coach got fired and there may be some things that happen where you want to leave, but most of it boils down to these kids are afraid of competition. That's the facts. You have kids right now that if they don't get their way, they want out, as opposed to fighting through, and making sure that they can find a way to get a spot, get on the playing field, find a way to battle. That's what it's all about. It's about competition. Right now, they're missing that.
I can't blame the kids for looking to greener pastures and for looking for greener pastures. Let's talk about some of the coaches. They thought the grass was greener. Scott Frost, Chip Kelly. They both left relatively solid situations, one at ESPN and one at UCF, and started very terribly. It doesn't always work out as you think it might. Clearly, that's been the case for coaches. So to me, JV, I hear you. Sometimes it may be a competition issue, but we live in a day and age and a society where it's all about win now. It's all about please me now, gratify me now. And a lot of times that's worked. I can't blame a guy like Justin Fields. He's looking over seeing Trevor Lawrence lead his team to a national championship. He wants a piece of that action.
I say the big difference, Acho, is that the coaches are leaving when there is a contract in place and they are out the door as a business decision. The players are trying to dip their toe in the water. Oh, let me put my name in this portal. Let me see if anybody wants to talk to me, if there's any interest, and then run the risk of losing your scholarship at the school you currently are at. Because, by the way, the school that you're at liked you. They liked you so much that they gave you the scholarship. So that's why I don't like that comparison of the players and the coaches. Unless you had a guaranteed option on the other side, sure, go ahead, do what you need to do. But these guys just want attention because they're afraid to compete.
Well, essentially, Vilma, you kind of just brought up at least the case that was facing someone that was in the transfer portal, that being Tate Martell, who applied for a waiver to play immediately in Miami, essentially saying that because they decided they were going to move on from Urban Meyer, he was going to move on and Ryan Day was going to come in. That caused some type of hardship for him. So he should be able to play immediately and not have to sit out a year, as is typically the case when you transfer, if you're not a graduate transfer. Acho, do you agree that he should be able to do this? Because this could essentially change the entire landscape of transfers.
Well, this is risky, risky business. I say this because we're going to have to start to decipher what is emotional hardship, so to speak. If you give Tate Martell the freedom to immediately play, it's going to get very dicey. Because if I'm a college football player, like so many players trying to transfer, I'm just going to start coming up with reasons why I went through emotional distress. And I'm going to make that my claim. I'm going to make that my appeal. JV, you know as well as I do, there are a lot of things that go on in college football that never reach the surface. At the point in which I just got to bring a scandal to surface to get out, I'm going to start doing so. Very risky if the NCAA allows Tate Martell to transfer.
Yeah, I agree with you, Wacho. The NCAA needs to set firm lines of what is considered emotional hardship and what's not. I would consider having an emotional hardship as a coach getting fired, for example. Not a coach leaving to get another job, but if a coach gets fired, if something happens, and then you now come into a new system with the new coach, yes, you should be allowed to leave, and you should be allowed to see the greener pastures on the other side. Outside of that, though, there are no emotional hardships because you receive the scholarship, you go out, and you play.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this, though, JV. I'll say this part. It gets a little risky. The outcome is the same. Whether a coach gets fired or a coach decides to leave just on a whim, the outcome is the same for the player. If you're being honest, players don't commit to universities. Players commit to coaches. The University of Texas didn't come and sit down in my living room. Mack Brown did. So when I committed to Texas, I wasn't committing for all 40 of the acres. I was committing for Mack Brown. So if he would have up and left, I felt like I deserved the opportunity to up and leave. I understand that the fans think, oh, you're committing to the university. That's false. You're not committing to a university. You're committing to a coach, a coordinator, and maybe a position coach. That's just what it is for the majority of athletes these days.
And Acho, that's fair, but at the same time, it's not exactly like Ryan Day was an outside hire. If we're referring only to the Tate Martell case, let's be clear. He wants to leave because he knows Justin Fields is coming. And back to Vilma's point, he doesn't want to compete for the starting job. He wants to go somewhere where he is assured to get the starting role, like Miami. So this is a slippery slope, no?
No, you're exactly right. This is a very unique situation, slippery slope. I think if Tate Martell would have made his request known sooner and amidst more of the Ohio State scandal, he could get away with it. But now it's obvious he's scared of the competition like JV has mentioned. Now it's obvious why he wants to get out. I'm simply speaking to the aspect of a coach leaving versus a coach being fired. It's still hard on a player.
I told you, Elle is not on your side, Acho. Tried to tell you that. She's going to agree with me.
Acho, I'm not on Vilma's side either. He's going to find that out very, very soon. With that, maybe here with this next question, that being grad transfers. They don't have to worry about any of this stuff, filing for hardships or whatnot. They are free and clear to play. So we've seen a number of really big names decide they're going to be graduate transfers. Who do you think out of this list is the best fit to where they're going?
It'll be Brandon Wimbush, transferring from Notre Dame, going to UCF. He's going into a very, very good situation because you have Mackenzie Melton that they're unsure of if he's going to come back in time with the knee injury. Now he can take his time, or his leg injury. He can take his time to get back and get healthy. They're returning 15 starters, all but one of their skill position players. And then, frankly, the competition is not as good. So Brandon Wimbush, who is a top flight talent at Notre Dame, he's now going down to a tier two, a tier one AA, not in UCF, but in the competition that they're going to be playing against. So he can shine and excel and show his athleticism in a very good situation at UCF.
Like JV just said, it has more to do with UCF and UCF's schedule than it necessarily does Brandon Wimbush. He is capable of winning ball games, which he did at Notre Dame for over a year, but he also got replaced. For me, it's a no-brainer. Jalen Hurts going to the University of Oklahoma. When was the last time that an Oklahoma quarterback was bad? Oh, wait. Beyond that, Jalen Hurts, 26-2 as a starter. He's been to national championships. He's got himself his own set of rings. He knows how to win. Lincoln Riley knows how to develop quarterbacks. And most importantly, in Oklahoma's offense, you don't have to be an incredibly prolific passer or a proficient passer. Receivers are screaming down the field wide open, and he inherits CeeDee Lamb, Kennedy Brooks, Grant Calcaterra. The list goes on. Jalen Hurts will instantly ball.
We saw what happened.
Way to take the low-hanging fruit, Acho.
I was going to say, we saw what happened when you had that one-off with Kyler Murray, right? Everything is in place for him to step in and
Facts.
Be able to excel in the same way. All right. There is no such thing as the NCAA football commissioner. It's not a thing. It just isn't a thing. But let's assume that there was, okay? And you guys are omnipotent. And I will start with you, Acho. If you were commissioner of the NCAA football, what would you change?
Well, first off, let me button up my jacket and become a little more professional as a commissioner.
Uh-oh.
I have three things I would change. One, I need scheduling parity across all conferences. I'm tired of some teams playing three out-of-conference games, some teams playing two, some playing one. Let's get parity. Secondly, I have to compensate the players because I need more players playing in bowl games. So if nothing else, I'm gonna compensate them for their bowl game at a minimum. And lastly, can I get rid of some of these uniform violations? Let my players swag out like they did back in the U in the 90s and the early 2000s. Not Jonathan Vilma. He didn't have any swag. But some of those other guys that are capable of having swag, let them express it on the field. I'm tired of the strict penalties. That's it. That's all I got for you, Al.
Well, I appreciate that backhanded compliment. So now, if I were the commissioner and you were my assistant, Acho, the first thing that I would do is that I would change everything about this opening of the free agency market of the recruiting of the players. I would open it up. Let these boosters pay whoever they want, however much they want, for as long as they want, if they want to get the kids. Because let's be real, the boosters made a living. Multi-millionaire, billionaire boosters made a living off of sound business decisions their whole life. They're not going to all of a sudden just throw that away and start dumping millions upon millions of dollars to these 18-year-old kids. What's going to happen is the 18-year-old kid will most likely be a bust. Once that happens, the market is set. You're going to have the billionaire saying, I'm not paying the next kid. And then you will eventually have a free-for-all for what you're going to have as far as paying the players throughout the recruiting process. They should do it. It will help the kids. It'll help the families. It'll help the NCAA because they surely aren't giving the players any money. Next thing I would do, I would have the tier one, tier two for targeting because I'm hating watching these kids who are not intentionally hitting the opponent in the helmet and then they're getting knocked out of the game for a half. And if it's already in the second half, then they're knocking them out for the first half of the next game. So I would do that and then find a way, as you said, Acho, incentivize the players in these bowl games because, frankly, it's not fun watching the bowl games right now. We got to do a better job. If I'm the commissioner, we got to do a better job bowl teams.
Let me just point out very quickly that it's very rich that the one wearing the pocket square wanted to do uniform violations and the former linebacker wanted to take exception with targeting. But Vilma, real fast, how fair is it to have boosters pay when the Big 12 is just going to have a bunch of oil money? They can't compete with the avocado farmer in the Pac-12. That's unfair.
So let's see. Okay, well, let's think about it, L. If we're talking about the oil companies of what, Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State, these programs are already established. They already get the best players. So why are we worried about them getting the best players when they already have the best players? If you're going to pay them, it doesn't make a difference now. Wisconsin, the Midwest, they already have a tough time recruiting with or without the money. So it makes no difference.
Wait, I'm sorry. That was the entire SEC just clutching their pearls. They get the best players? Oh, my goodness, Jonathan Vilma. Wow. Next, you're going to say it's the ACC. Coming up in just a little bit, we are going to talk about Sean McVay. Is Lincoln Riley basically the college football version of him? Stick around. All right, we're back, and we're going four downs. We start with our first down, North Texas offensive coordinator Graham Harrell, Monday night, accepting an offer to become USC's new offensive coordinator. Harrell, of course, replacing Cliff Kingsbury, who left for the Cardinals. And Brock Huard on this very show yesterday offered his take on the hiring.
No, I don't like this fit at all, Peter. And it has really nothing to do with Cliff or Graham as coaches or as people or as human beings. You ask me about fit. I don't think USC has to run the air raid. I mean, this is USC, is it not? This is the bluest of the blue bloods out west. This is one of the few schools, I think, in the Pac-12 that can select their kind of players and not just have to try to recruit. You can pick which system you want. You know, the air raid is for, you know, Mike Leach up in Pullman or down in Lubbock. And, you know, when you don't have the kind of personnel to go toe for toe.
Vilma, do you agree that USC is better than this?
I don't agree. I understand his perspective because the talent is always there. I look at it and say, well, if the air raid is the new style of offense, you can have the best talent running this new style of offense. So why wouldn't you want to bring in the air raid with the best wide receivers, the best skill position, best running backs that you can get on the West Coast? So I understand where Brock is coming from. I don't agree with it, though.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, JV, and totally disagree with Brock. The air raid put up numbers, it puts up yards, and it gets recruits. The air raid offense works. It's not as if it's some sort of new gimmick. Everybody talks about smash mouth football. Do what works. It's a new age, it's new blood, it's new offensive coordinators, new minds. Run the air raid, USC.
Maybe when they add five downs, we'll be able to debate why Mike Leach disciples keep getting jobs and not Mike Leach himself. But that's for another College Football Live. Let's go second down, and we're talking about Oklahoma. The second and final signing day is, of course, next Wednesday, February 6th. However, it looks like Oklahoma's in a pretty good spot after signing 23 players in December. ESPN has them as the top five in the recruiting class. That's after taking a huge jump from number nine last year. So here's the question, and I'll pose it to you first, Acho. Is Lincoln Riley the college football version of Sean McVay?
No doubt about it. Lincoln Riley is that dude. He's young. He's swaggy. I mean, he's got the style, and he puts up numbers. That's what it comes down to. Two back-to-back Heisman winners. How do you instantly become a head coach, go to the college football playoffs 2 years in a row, and deliver two Heismans 2 years in a row? It's not just about being young and good-looking. The man produces. He might be better than Sean McVay at the college level.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now, Acho, because Lincoln Riley doesn't have defense. You're a linebacker. How do you sit here and say that Sean McVay and Lincoln Riley are comparable? Sean McVay has one of the best defenses and surround himself with the best coaches as well as the best talent. How in the world can you compare the two? Until Lincoln Riley gets a defense, you cannot compare him to Sean McVay.
Tell Lincoln Riley get free agency first.
Lincoln Riley was at a Justin Timberlake concert the other day, and Justin Timberlake yelled out Boomer Sooner. So basically, Lincoln Riley is the Beyonce of college football. Next, it's perfect that this is third down, which is perfect territory for running backs. And that's because this Super Bowl is going to feature two of the most fantastic running backs in UGA history, that being Todd Gurley and Sony Michel. Todd asked about UGA and its legacy as RBU this week at Media Day.
I think Georgia's RBU.
Yeah, it's been RBU.
Since when?
Since I left.
What makes Georgia running backs different?
Because we playing in the Super Bowl and nobody else.
Vilma, show me the lie. Show me the lie, Vilma.
There's no lie. I mean, it's cute that your Georgia school is RBU, but I'll trump you and have Miami beat NFLU. By the way, who had the most first rounders in a single season? University of Miami. Who had the most first rounding streak? University of Miami, 15 years from 95 to 2008. Who had the most Pro Bowlers since 2002? University of Miami. So I like Georgia. That's cute. But I'll still stick with the University of Miami.
And who hasn't had a quarterback since 2001? Miami. I'm sorry, Acho.
How did you make this argument about all of a sudden big picture NFL prospects? We talking about running backs, JV, not the league.
I don't
running
care.
Backs.
You say RBU. We all know that NFLU started with Miami because we're producing so many NFL talented players. And oh, by the way, we're all successful.
I'm done.
So, bro, yes, yeah, just throw it up, Acho.
But that wasn't the question, Acho. That wasn't even the – all right. That wasn't the question.
That wasn't the question.
Doesn't matter.
All right. Okay.
Doesn't
and finally, we're at fourth down. And this is fantastic. Scott Frost, I can't stand you. Always about Miami, Vilma. Did you go there? Because I'm wondering.
So.
Yeah. Scott Frost was invited. Of course, Nebraska head coach Scott Frost was invited to a little girl's birthday party named Lily. He could not go, but he did answer her personally. And by personally, I mean he probably had a secretary type this up, and then he used a stamp to sign it. Respectfully declining and saying he couldn't go to her fifth birthday. So on fourth down, I ask you this, and I'll start with Acho here. If you could have had a childhood birthday and any player or coach showed up to it, who would it have been?
I'm bringing the best player to ever grace the University of Miami, defensive player himself, Ed Reed. Sorry, JV. Ed Reed,
hey,
swaggiest, most just biggest personality ever. When I was a kid, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, Ed Reed was that dude. I remember he gave one speech. He said, don't ask me if I'm hurt. JV was probably there asking Ed Reed if he was hurt and whatnot. And I'll say this, JV, you can come as Ed Reed's plus one.
Well, I'm glad Ed Reed would turn you down, so I'm not worried about that. My guy would be Michael Jordan. I'm taking it to the basketball court because it didn't matter. Football, basketball, hockey, whatever sport, he got it done. He found ways to win. He won games when he was sick. He won games when he was hurt. He won games. And I love that about Michael Jordan. Only person. I would be starstruck. I probably still would be starstruck now.
By the way, I think Acho just had like a subtle dig at how old you are, because aren't you like the same age as Ed Reed? And like he said, Ed Reed could have come to his birthday party as a little kid.
No. Oh,
okay,
Acho just looks old. It's okay. Yeah,
okay, is that what it is?
He looks like he's 42.
So here was mine randomly, Bobby Bowden. Like, dude, I don't know why, but as a kid, I had an infatuation with FSU. We had a close friend who were like die-hard Seminole fans, and I just loved Bobby Bowden. Like, I wanted him to be my grandpa. For obvious reasons, that couldn't have been, but yeah, I was all in on him, and he was my guy. So I'm going Bobby Bowden.
Is he wearing the shades? Is he wearing the glasses to the party?
100%. He's wearing the glasses. He's got the whistle. He's been a nice dude. Got a chance to meet him. Fangirled. It was a whole thing. All right. Coming up next, it's what we've all been waiting for. Emmanuel Acho is about to get his 2 Chainz on, much to the chagrin of the entire crew. Stick around. College Football Live continues.
Acho, take 2.
It was deja vu for Texas versus Maryland. And we finally saw Michigan with Shea Patterson. App State almost won. Washington wish it could. And would you believe me if I told you TCU was still good? Thompson went to College Station and came out with the win. Herm Edwards 2-0 straight from ESPN. Week 3, Hurricane. Wasn't much we could do. And what the hell happened to Wisconsin against BYU? Week 4 brought Urban back. He didn't miss a beat. And Old Dominion shocked the world when they beat VT. Kelly Bryant chunked the deuces. Notre Dame came alive. And Penn State ran inside zone on 4th and 5. Rivalry week was lit. Texas put on a show. But since we've seen how UCLA's record start with 0, Michigan got rolling. Westview took a nail. And Georgia's lost to LSU. Had us like, what in the hell? Took Scott Frost 8 weeks to finally get him a win. Ohio State never wants to go to Purdue again. LSU got washed away. I guess the tide was too strong. Gardner Minshew started balling, but his mustache too long. I'd be remiss if I ain't mentioned Texas in the top 10. But my horns got out as fast as they got in. Somebody get the Gatorade. It's time to bathe Coach O. You better not celebrate till clock's hit 0. 7 overtimes, man? Boy, you gotta be playing. I just turned to ESPN and A&M scored a game? Quarterbacks going crazy. Tua, Kyler, and Dwayne. He put up 62 on Michigan. 6 touchdowns. Insane. We thought Bam would lose. Georgia had Tua bruised. But a backup quarterback came to the rescue. Jalen Hurts, number 2. Man, that was a scene. Replace a dude who replaced you just to beat the same team. So who's in, who's out? It's playoff talk. OU Avenger lost to Texas. UGA had to walk. Kyler took home the Heisman. Pop wasn't surprised. Tua really wasn't tripping. Had revenge in his eye. Bowl games were rough, especially Cal TCU. How you go 4 picks and still win by a few? Coaches on the move. Options way too many. Diaz was screaming Temple tough till he got called from Miami. Rick was gone so fast he might have pulled a hammy. And they gonna have to fight on without Cliff Kingsbury. Semifinals was here. Boy, Tua did his thing. But somebody tell me, what the hell is Osterine? And versus Clemson, Notre Dame just didn't belong. Throw the ball to Justin Ross. He gone. So here it is. Round 4 like Drago Creed. But we were sick of Bama Clemson after the first 3. Justin Ross balled again. ETN and T. But they got 2 for bet. Shout out to Clemson D. Trevor Lawrence went stupid. Boy, went insane. But I don't know. Was that Mary J or Lil Wayne? Clemson got the dub. It was a hell of a game. And that's it for the rap recap of 2018.
What? Okay, Acho.
Bars. JV, don't hate. JV, I want the truth right now.
I'm not hating. I'm convinced you woke up and said, how am I going to embarrass myself for 2019? And that's
never.
What you gave
that was hot fire.